We may turn to the chapter of God's Word that we read in the book of Genesis, chapter 49. Genesis chapter 49, and as the Lord would be pleased to help us, we would desire to consider words that you will find in verse 18. Genesis chapter 49 and at verse 18. I have waited for thy salvation, O Lord. Well, last words should be very serious and solemn words. The last words of a godly man. The last words of a man speaking under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit are surely words that we should give attention to. You will have your last words, whether you realize you are speaking your last words or not, it's a different matter. But you will utter words for the last time in this world, and the words that you will utter in eternity will either be words of eternal happiness or eternal misery, with weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. And therefore we must pay attention to God's words. If our words, our last words, are to be words in accordance with his words. So it was with Jacob. He's speaking under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And as we've said a few times lately, it's one of the clearest evidences that the Bible is the Word of God. One of the most impressive marks of the Scripture is that it is able to predict the future. No other book in the world can do that. No Quran, no false scriptures of any false religion is able to predict the future. But the Word of God does that. And Jacob is speaking prophetically here about the future of his sons, who were the patriarchs, the heads of the tribes of Israel. Jacob is the father of the nation, as Abraham was also. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob are the founders of the nation of Israel. And through Jacob's sons, his seed, the seed of Jacob, the Israel of God, the people of God who were the church in the Old Testament, these tribes, the 12 tribes, were descended, as you know, from this one man, Jacob. That's how he says later on in the chapter, that the blessings of thy father have prevailed above the blessings of thy progenitors. That he had 12 sons, and he had more than Abraham and Isaac had in that regard. And from him, the nation of Israel would flow. And he has very solemn matters to say to them. He can see the troubled history that they were going to have. And that is why it is believed he breaks out here into this statement that we have in verse 18. I have waited for thy salvation, O Lord. He's breaking off from speaking about the tribes and he's speaking about himself. He's seeing the trouble that's going to be in the church in days to come. And he's saying, as for myself, this is true of me. I have waited for thy salvation. And for all the true seed of Jacob in the Old Testament church, yes, and down to the end of time in the New Testament church. This exercise that he has, this description of his life, it's like an epitaph. You can write this over his grave, as it were, that Jacob has waited for the God of salvation. This is what is true of God's people in their lives. This is what they do. This is what characterizes the people of God. They wait for his salvation. The grace of faith makes them wait upon the Lord. They do this all their lives, and thereby they are prepared for eternal life. He's saying this on the brink of eternity. He's waited for the full blessing of salvation to be brought to him. He's committing his soul to the Lord. His soul is going to be gathered. He's going to dismiss his spirit in faith. He's going to enter in to eternal life. And Jacob can do that. And the seed of Jacob and everyone who is of the true spiritual Israel of God, that can only be done because of Christ, who was of the seed of Jacob according to the flesh. How did he die? He died as a public person. He died as the representative of his people. He died as the covenant head to secure all the blessings of the everlasting covenant, all the blessings of eternal life, all the fullness of salvation. When he died on the cross of Calvary, he commended his spirit into the hands of his Father, and he yielded up the ghost. And he's representing all the Israel of God in that wonderful act of dying in order to bring his people to heaven. I have waited for thy salvation, O Lord. There are three things that we would desire to bring before you as enabled today. From these words, the first is to notice that faith will make the soul wait upon the Lord. This is a statement of great faith. And that faith, where it is, will make the soul wait upon the Lord. That's what Jacob did, and that's what the seed of Jacob do. The second thing that we would like to consider is that this waiting on the Lord is the business of a lifetime. It's a lifelong activity, waiting upon the Lord. It's the business of a whole lifetime. And then in the third place, that waiting upon the Lord is the only preparation for eternity. Jacob is on the brink of eternity. This is what he has to say. This is what his soul is taken up with. This is how he's exercised passing from time to the world of spirits. It's the only preparation that you and I can have. If we're going to inherit eternal life, we must begin to wait upon the Lord. Well, the first thing then is to notice that the grace of faith will make the soul wait upon the Lord. And we're told in Hebrews that faith is the evidence of things not seen and the substance of things hoped for. Faith is coming to trust in an invisible God for spiritual blessings that we cannot see with the eye of our body. Now, Jacob came to trust in the Lord. We don't know exactly when in his life. We don't know when grace began to work in Jacob's soul. There are different views on that, and there's no need to go into that just now. Some think it was at Bethel. Some think it was long before that. But whatever the case may be, he had the grace of faith. And that's the most important thing, to be found believing in the God of salvation. He came to know God as a God of salvation to him, a God of mercy unto me, as the psalmist puts it. That's the great business for yourself and myself. If you and I are to be numbered among the seed of Jacob, friend, you have to come to know the Lord through faith. There's no other saving knowledge of God that we can have but by trusting in God's promises that he would be a saviour unto us in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, the mediator. That's the view that was brought to Jacob's soul there in the vision he had in Bethel, when he saw the ladder set up from heaven, reaching down to the earth. That was a vision of Christ. Christ confirms that to us in John's Gospel when he was speaking to Nathanael. The seed of Jacob, Jacob himself, and every true believer, they get a view of the wonderful salvation that God has provided in sending his beloved Son into this world to save sinners, to be the mediator. There is one mediator, one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. That's where saving faith is going out, to lay hold of Christ in the promises of the Word. If God had not given us promises, if God had not given us invitations and offers of mercy in the gospel covenant, in this gracious word, then there would be nowhere that faith could rest. There would be no faith to exercise, and there would be nothing to be exercised upon. But God has given promises, friend, exceeding great and precious promises, full and free, absolutely free to the chief of sinners, that God would be a God to this poor sinner and to that poor sinner there, for Jesus' sake alone. We have to receive the grace that is in these promises. And we can only receive that by the grace of faith. Out of Christ's fullness, the soul receives grace for grace. If you were traveling in the desert and you were parched with thirst, scorched with the heat, and well nigh ready to perish, and you saw an oasis of water, how thankful you would be. You would forget about your weakness, that you could hardly take another step, and you would run into that oasis, to that well, to slake your thirst. That's what the promises of God are to a poor, weary sinner in this world. They come to taste that the Lord is good, and who trusts in him is blessed. They taste that the Lord is gracious. They take home the grace that is in the promise. They drink it in. They eat it to the satisfaction of their soul. Oh, taste and see is the language of the gospel covenant. Thy word was found, and I did eat it, and it became the joy and the rejoicing of my heart. You're to pray that the Holy Spirit would enable you to lay hold of Christ in the promises, to work saving faith in your soul, that you would be united to a God in Christ by his powerful, effectual calling. And then you will have a taste, then you will have a relish, then you will have a desire to drink freely and abundantly out of the wells of salvation with joy. whatever need you have today on your way to eternity. You have need of cleansing. Oh, is there not cleansing provided in the covenant of grace for the very most guilty and the very most filthy and the very most depraved and corrupted sinner? Is there not mercy in God through the blood of Christ for the very chief of sinners? There is, dear friend. Ah, you must come to Christ then. You must come to the well. You must come to the gospel oasis. That's what Jacob did. Many's a weary day he had in the desert, tending his flocks. The grace of faith will lay hold of that mercy. Are you an ignorant sinner? Christ has promised in the gospel to enlighten the eyes of your understanding through his word and spirit. The meek in judgment he will guide and make his path to know. Show me thy ways. Is that your language? Ah, the Lord can lead you into the truth. God, good and upright is the way he'll sinners show. The way of salvation. I am the way and the truth and the life. Are you a rebellious sinner? Are you rebelling against the Lord in your heart? Are you rebelling against the gospel? Are you rebelling against his most holy law? Are you saying the law of God is too strict for you? Too straight a place for you to dwell? Ah, friend, it's the law you're needing, if that's the language of your soul, to subdue you, to show you that the desperate end of that way, the way that seems right to you today, is a way that leads to death. But you ask the Lord to open the eyes of your understanding, that you would see that there is a more excellent way, that true happiness flows from holiness, and holiness flows from faith in Christ. You will never be happy in sin. Remember that in the days of your youth, friend. You will never be happy in the way of sin and unbelief. Now, faith expects the blessing from the Lord. There's a going out after a blessing that we don't have ourselves. That's in the very essence of faith. Faith is a trusting for something we haven't got ourselves. That's the very point of it. If we had these blessings, if we had life in our souls, if we had grace, we wouldn't need to trust the Lord to give it to us. And therefore, in the very exercise of faith, there's a waiting upon God. There's an expectation that God will give us something that we haven't got ourselves. That's what Jacob's saying here. He waited for God to give him what he didn't have. And I upon thee all the day, expecting, do attend. When the soul is enabled to trust the Lord for the salvation that is so free and full and sealed in the blood of Christ, the soul begins to wait with expectation upon the Lord for the fulfillment of every promise, for supplies of grace, for life, for light, for liberty, for obedience, for repentance, for renewed exercises of faith to obtain fatherly forgiveness, for sanctifying grace, for wisdom, for humility, for patience. These are all the blessings that the soul is brought to see its need of, and it goes to the Lord in faith to obtain them, because they're all promised freely in the covenant. There's an expectation in faith. There's a laying hold of God's word, that God would be faithful to his word and give it to us freely, for Christ's sake alone. Jacob here is looking to the Lord to fulfill his expectations. And is that what you are doing today? Are you looking to the Lord to fulfill your expectations? What are your expectations of God, friend? If you remain in your sins, we must solemnly warn you that the only thing that you can expect from God is a certain fearful looking for a fiery indignation and judgment which shall devour the adversaries. That's the only thing that you can expect from the Lord. If you're determined to go on in the way of unbelief and not receive the grace that is offered to you in the promises and in the invitations of the gospel. But if you're a poor sinner and you've got nothing at all, and Jesus Christ is your all in all, and you have all your hope and confidence in the mercy of God revealed through the blood of Christ, revealed in the person of Emmanuel, sealed in his precious blood, if you're depending upon the word of his promise, you're living by faith in that promise from day to day, and you're hoping in his mercy, and you're looking for future fulfillment of all the promises of the gospel with regard to your soul. You're wanting more light upon your justification, that your sins are forgiven freely through the blood of the Lamb. You're looking for light upon your adoption, that you're numbered among the household of faith, and you are among the Israel of God, the seed of Jacob spiritually. You're looking to the blood of Christ for sanctification. You're looking to the promises of the gospel for strength. You're looking to the Holy Spirit to make you fit for eternal life. That's the exercise of waiting upon the Lord with expectation. Is that true of you today? Now, there's not only expectation in faith, there is desire. Jacob is saying here, I have waited for thy salvation, because he sees it to be desirable. You have to test yourself by that. Is the salvation of God desirable in your eyes? Why else would he wait for it if it was not something to be prized above all else? Why would you wait for it? Come what may in God's providence, come what may in his dealings with you, why would you wait? All the day, all the days of your life, as we shall come to see. Faith not only lays hold of the blessing, but faith is making the soul see how desirable the full fulfillment of that blessing will be. You may have heard, some of you, about the now and the not yet of the salvation of God. The Lord's people have salvation now. They are saved by grace through faith, and that not of themselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. They have that in present possession in the covenant. It will never be taken from them. But they're being saved. They're being saved more and more by the grace of God from the indwelling corruption that is in them. And Jacob's life is a commentary on that, the work of the Holy Spirit. Jacob's life is a pattern in that sense. Many wanderings he had, many difficulties he had to go through. And the Lord takes his people through all that. And they will yet be saved. They're yet going to be saved with an everlasting salvation in the Lord. Christ will be made a full redemption to every one of his people. There's a future They have salvation now, but it's not yet in its fullness. And they're brought to see the desirableness of the full blessing of salvation, of the full extent of eternal life, soul and body in heaven and glory forever and ever. They're brought to see the desirableness of that. They're brought to see the desirableness of Christ, who gives it to them, who seals it to them, who secures it for them. They're brought to see the desirableness of the Holy Spirit's work in effecting this in their hearts and lives. They're brought to see the desirableness of salvation, of having God as the God of their salvation. They're brought to see that this alone is desirable in comparison with everything else that could be desired. It's more choice than rubies, and all the treasures of this world are not to be compared to it. Can you say that today, my dear friend? What is the world in comparison with the salvation of your soul for eternity? You've been taught to seek this blessing because it's been made so desirable to them. The grace of faith has made it so real in their understanding. Above all things, Lord, thy face seek will I. The psalmist in Psalm 73 had very profound and difficult experiences. And what did he say? What was the conclusion of the whole matter as far as he was concerned? It was this: whom have I in the heavens high but thee, O Lord, alone? And in the earth whom I desire, besides thee there is none. None to be compared to the God of salvation. If you have him as your portion, if you have a covenant God as your portion for eternity, what is the world in comparison to that? Jacob is seeing the world fleeing away from him, as it were. He's going to be removed out of it. And he has the Lord. He has Christ in the covenant. He has all things. If you have the Lord today, friend, you have eternal life in the bud. For God the Lord's a sun and shield. He'll grace and glory give, and will withhold no good from them that uprightly do live. You have all things. And whatever you have of the world, if you haven't got Christ as your portion, you have nothing. Nothing. Nothing you have is your own. It's all of the Lord, that he has given it to you in providence. And if that is all you have, friend, which is soon to be removed from you, how poor and pitiable you are in your way to eternity. Now, there's one more thing that we'll say about the grace of faith making the soul wait upon the Lord. Jacob, as you will be aware, was a crafty man. He was cunning by nature. That's one reason why, when Christ spoke to Nathanael, speaking, as you know, of the vision of the ladder there, he said concerning Nathanael, an Israelite indeed in whom there is no guile. There was lots of guile in Jacob's character by nature. And he had to learn that the blessing of God was not obtained by carnal means. He was not to run ahead of the Lord to obtain the Lord's blessing. What a sad lesson he had to learn in that regard, in connection with obtaining the blessing of Isaac. He fell in with his mother's strategy to obtain that blessing falsely. The blessing would have come to him in the covenant, in God's own way, if he had waited on the Lord. And he didn't wait on the Lord. And look what happened to him. He was deceived himself by Laban. And the Lord's people will be taught that. If they run ahead of the Lord, if they act for themselves without the Lord's direction, without waiting on the Lord, then the Lord will make it bitter to them. There has to be this waiting upon the Lord. But at the same time, a waiting on the Lord, this is the point we want to emphasize, is not slothfulness. Waiting on the Lord is an intensely active thing. When Jacob, with Isaac, his father, and Abraham, his grandfather, when they were in the land of Canaan as pilgrims and strangers, what were they doing? Were they inactive? No, they were serving the Lord. They were worshiping the Lord. They were building altars in every place where they dwelt. They were instructing their household in the ways of the Lord. They were showing a clear difference between themselves and the heathen around them. Waiting on the Lord. I waited for the Lord my God and patiently did bear. At length to me he did incline my voice and cry to hear. That's not idleness. It's not inactivity. It's not slothfulness. It's not fatalism. It's not some folding of the hands and saying, well, if the blessing of the Lord is to come to me, it will come. I don't need to concern myself about attending to the things of God. I don't need to concern myself about seeking the Lord. I don't need to concern myself about the state of my soul today. If that's the language of your soul, friend, you're intensely active in the service of the devil. You need to be active in seeking the Lord. And you need to ask the Lord by his grace to give you this activity, to wait in faith upon him for the blessing that he alone can command to give life to your dead and sinful soul. Through the power of the one who died and rose again. Now the second thing is to notice that this is a lifelong business. Waiting upon the Lord is not the work of a day. I have waited for thy salvation, O Lord. He's speaking in retrospect. Looking back on a long life, the young people will know how long Jacob lived. You can calculate how many days he lived. 147 years. Times that by 365. Think how many tens and tens and tens of thousands of days he waited on the Lord. He waited on the Lord in the land of Canaan as an heir of the promise with Abraham and Isaac his father. Dwelling in tents, looking for a better country, serving the Lord. He waited. He waited on the Lord in Paddan Aram. He waited on the Lord back in the land of Canaan. He waited on the Lord in Egypt for 17 years. He said, few and evil have been the days of the years of my pilgrimage at the age of 130. Now 17 years later, on the brink of eternal glory, he's looking back and he's saying, I have waited. This has been the characteristic of my life. I have had to wait upon the Lord. The Lord's dealings with me have made me to wait upon him. The way he has led me, the way he has dealt with my soul, the bitter experiences, the dark and difficult days in Providence, all these have brought me to be entirely dependent upon the Lord, to be more consciously dependent upon the word of his grace. The older I'm getting, he could say, and all the children of Jacob can say it spiritually, Everything the Lord is doing, he's taking away the props of nature. He's taking away the strength. He's taking away Jacob's guile and natural leaning to his own understanding. If Jacob and the seed of Jacob are going to go to heaven, they'll go entirely dependent upon the Lord. They'll go leaning upon their thighs, halting upon their thighs. The Lord will put many bones out of joint in your soul if you're of the seed of Jacob. He'll make you to go hobbling very painfully on account of indwelling sin. Think of all the difficult experiences Jacob had. He had to wait upon the Lord for his beloved Rachel. He had to wait upon the Lord to give him deliverance from the revenging hand of Esau. He had to wait upon the Lord to give him deliverance out of the hand of the Canaanites after the murder of Shechem, which he alludes to earlier on in the chapter in verse 5. Think how grievous it was for Jacob, thinking that Joseph was lost. His soul would come down to the grave, sorrowing with grey hairs. The Lord made him wait and depend upon him. This is what is true of all the people of God. They're being emptied from vessel to vessel. They've been emptied of every creature confidence. The Lord's dealings with them, their frailty, their corruption, their ignorance, their powerlessness, so that they are made to lean upon the beloved of their souls coming up from the wilderness. They can do nothing else. They have no help of man at all. How did Moses endure all the trials that came upon him? He endured by faith, waiting upon the Lord. He endured as seeing him who is invisible. That sounds like a contradiction. How can you see something that is invisible? But faith enabled him to see that God's promises would be fulfilled, and he endured. How did Joseph, going back to Joseph, Jacob's son, how did he endure in the prison when everything was dark in his providence? When his own brethren hated him, they grieved him and shot at him. That's what you have later on in the chapter. The archers have sorely grieved him. His brothers were against him. He was separated from his brethren. What misery. How did he endure? The Lord was with him. Faith did not fail. He would not sin. But no one else would have known of it. Because the Lord was with him. Faith was in exercise. He was kept. He too was waiting upon the Lord's salvation. What about yourself, dear friend? When you look back over another year, we are in the last Sabbath of another year. We do not know whether we will live to see many of us, some of us, our loved ones. Will we see another full year of Sabbath? Can you say, whatever else has been true of you in this year, I have waited for thy salvation, O Lord. Can you apply that back over your life? All the years of your life, this is true of me, that I waited for thy salvation. I waited daily at thy gates and at the posts of thy doors, seeking for wisdom how I was to live that day to the glory of God. I waited patiently for grace to believe in the forgiveness of my sins continually through the blood of the everlasting covenant. I waited for strength for every duty. I waited in spite of all the sin that I found in my soul and breaking out in my life. I waited for pardoning mercy. I waited for the grace of repentance to be more thoroughgoing in my soul and evident in my life. I waited for supplies of the Holy Spirit to enable me to walk worthily of this glorious God of salvation every day that I was in this world. Can you say that today? Can you say it, dear young friend? Can you say it, my dear older friend, on your way to eternity very shortly? Every day of a past year, there wasn't a day when you didn't call upon the name of the Lord. Is that true of you? Or is it not? I waited for grace to be conformed to the will of God and to be made more and more acquiescing in his will, however difficult it was in my providence. I waited for grace to be fit to enter eternity. A hypocrite, a false professor, can wait. As far as they think, as long as joy and head knowledge and outward prosperity are what they're experiencing. But to wait upon the Lord in the times of darkness, when there seems no prospect of the fulfillment of his promises, that's a characteristic of saving faith alone. And it only belongs to the seed of Jacob to say, in that connection, I have waited for thy salvation. Now, finally and very briefly, we must note that this is the only preparation for eternity, waiting upon the Lord. He's on the brink of leaving this world. Is it not a solemn thought to you that the place that knows you now shall know you no more forever? Everything you've ever known, everything you've ever sensed, experienced, known, touched, understood in the natural realm, you have to leave it. How are you going to face that? Young people put it far from them. Good for you if you learn early in life. And good for you, however old you are, if you begin to learn it now and you begin to learn it more and more, to die daily, to be making preparation for eternity daily. And this is the way. Waiting upon the Lord to fulfill his promises is the only way to prepare for eternity. Jacob is blessing his sons here. And you have to look to a greater than Jacob to grant you the blessing of eternal life, the blessing that he alone can command to your soul, the blessing of the one who was on the cross of Calvary and who died and his people died in him. When he atoned for their sins are removed. as far as east is distant from the west. And God is communicating eternal life to them. Because I live, ye shall live also. And so when the blessed Saviour dismisses his spirit, and soul and body part, and the soul goes to paradise, and the body is under the power of death for a time, he's doing that as the covenant head of his people. He's taking his people with him, as it were, so that when they go down into the grave, they shall not be parted from Christ. Their bodies remain in the graves. Their dust is precious to the Lord. Oh, what was said of Jacob when he went down to Egypt? Fear not, Jacob, for I will go down with thee into Egypt, and I will also bring thee up again, and Joseph shall put his hand upon thine eyes. Joseph, in other words, will be near you. When you close your eyes in death, he will take care of your death. And all the circumstances of it, fear not to go down into the valley of the shadow of death, for I am with thee. And the New Testament Joseph, he will make it a greater blessing to you, the day of your death, greater than the day of your birth. I have waited for the full salvation of God. I am the resurrection and the life. And he that believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? That's what Christ is saying to your soul today. Do you believe that he is able and willing to give you eternal life freely because of his death and resurrection? Will you receive it, friend? Will you wait upon the Lord by faith? May this be our resolution. I will wait upon the Lord, though he hideth his face from the house of Jacob. Though he's been hiding his face from me, because I have been hiding my face from him, let this be your resolution. However many days you have left in this world, or however few, I have waited for thy salvation. O Lord, may he bless his word to us.